Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Saturday, 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 Saturday. Wasn't that what we... Isn't that the... You know, after last week's announcements, my wife told me, I got to pray how to respond about this next time. And she laid down and she turned on the TV and the Oscars was on. And she took that as prophetic meaning. Next time I get up here and say something out of the way funny, she knows how to respond. Hey, don't. I have been warned. Play it straight. So I'm going to play it straight. There will be no joking. This is very serious. I'm playing it straight. Anywho, thank you guys for coming back after last week's announcements. I do appreciate that. That was very kind of you, very benevolent. And it's good to have Mom in. Thank you, Mom, for coming and hanging out. I got to go up and get Mom, I guess it was, drove up Thursday, we drove back Friday. And I was inspired by the message on the ride home. That's when I got my inspiration for this message. For those who've kept up with me for the last few, decade or so, know I might have a heavy foot at times. I tend to be in a hurry at times. And it wasn't maybe 20 years ago. I was living over in Rutherfordton, and I was scheduled to lead worship that Sunday morning. And I woke up right at the time worship practice was supposed to begin. See, River, you get it honest. And I said, oh my, I better get to church. So I threw on some clothes and I took off down the highway, and I was on 74 bypass, and when I crossed over Thunder Road, guess what was there? Scott, come on. A minister of God. A Kojak with a Kodak, as I used to say. I mean, and he lit me up. He just, woo, woo. And so I immediately pull over, and he comes up to my window, and he says, sir, do you know how fast you were going? And I said, I know I had it all the way down to the floor, so I don't know how fast. He says, I clocked you at 101. He says, why are you in such a hurry? I'm like, you ain't gonna believe this. I lead worship at a church in Spindale, and I was supposed to be there 20 minutes ago, and they're all just standing around waiting on me. And he goes, do you serve a God of grace? I said, I do. He goes, well, you're going to get mercy today. And he let me go. Fast forward to this past Thursday. Coming back from Virginia and between Richmond and Danville, I was in an electric car that tends to move quickly. And I just sort of lost sense of time. And it was one of those roads that goes from 45 to 60 to 70 to 45, you know. And so I'm between Dansville and Richmond. And all of a sudden, here again, a minister of God comes and lighting me up, showing me the path, and comes right up to me. And I could sense, Pastor, with the way his posture and the way he carried himself, he was there to serve justice. So, 2 and 4, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, sir. And I slowed down the rest of the way. And I got to thinking, that was fair. That was fair. I was speeding. I was breaking the law willfully. Breaking the law, and got what I deserved. 15, 18, nearly 20 years ago, that wasn't really fair, was it? I was going 101. It wasn't fair. What he gave me was favor. And I got to thinking, a lot of our discourse in the world today, in society, whether it be political, theological, everything, because face it, folks, we've been beat up a little bit the last few years, haven't we? Well, it always degenerates into this thing of fairness. And I got to thinking about that Sunday morning coming here in such a hurry. And I got to thinking about what just happened this past week. And I've concluded, you can have fairness, just give me favor. You know, the enemy has been tricking us from beginning over this whole question of what's fair. Really has. If you think about it, how did he tempt Eve? It's not fair. It's not fair. You know, God isn't a fair God, is he? He's a just God, but he's not a fair God, is he? Thank God. I wake up every morning thanking God he's not fair. Because if I got what was fair, that's my line. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. I want to talk to you next few moments about this whole concept. Because fairness says we all should get way less than what we currently have. That's fairness. But we're all here today. We got up this morning because of why? The favor of God. Because we don't deserve the next breath. We're literally breathing on borrowed air, aren't we? But he says here in Matthew chapter 20, for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, you go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went, going out again to the sixth hour, and the ninth hour he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing and said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. He said to him, you go into the vineyard too. And then evening came, and the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them received a denarius. And on receiving it, grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat. He replied to one of them, friend, I am not doing no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belonged to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first shall be last. That's a tough passage, isn't it? Boy, that, you know, for a lot of us, I mean, that sort of gets up in our crawl, doesn't it? If you think about it, but you got to really break this passage down and really start understanding some things. You know, the first thing I notice about this whole passage is look at the way Jesus framed it. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. So if we have some problems with the concepts and the precepts that's about to be laid out, what we really have a problem with is the way the kingdom of God operates, don't we? And isn't that when we really break down some of this struggle and strife that we're having in our culture and society today, isn't that really what we're struggling against? The way that seems right unto the man and the way that God says this is the way life operates. You see, it's not fair that I was born 5 foot nothing and with a vertical of 2 inches, but I had dreams. I wanted to play for Dean Smith. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a touchy topic. I won't bring that up. But the devil is under the hill, I'm just saying. I won't go there. I want to be a gracious winner. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we all have aspirations. We all have dreams. We all have things we want to do. But something that we were not under any control of ourselves, we have to sort of deal with, don't we? Outside things have put us in a situation where if we were in a different situation, we would have an advantage. And by that dichotomy, it's called what? Unfair. You know, Pastor Terry shares a lot of the same story. Now, my father didn't pass away, but he lost a father early on. I didn't have a dad growing up, but you talk to either one of us, and I know because I talked to him. He's had several men speak into his life as father figures that he may not have had otherwise. I know I can count back multiple men that I consider father figures to me. I could not be any closer to them if they were genuinely my father that I had simply because of the absence of having a father. And my point is this. We have got to stop getting into this tussle about what is fair and start asking God, where's the favor at in this? Because see, where I lost one father, I have seven men I can look back on. I literally do. That one taught me this, and one taught me this, and one taught me this. And that is way more information and wisdom than one person could have given me. I have favor. That's favor. I'm telling you, anytime something comes against you, anytime you're put in a situation that genuinely, truly is not fair, that is your time to say, God, where's the favor? Because I'm telling you what, He favors us. I don't know what's touched your life. I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't even know the fight that's in front of you, but I know this. I know the fight that's in you. And the fight that's in you is greater than the fight that's in front of you. And there is favor for you. It doesn't matter if you got the best credit score. It doesn't matter if you got the worst credit score. It don't matter if you got the most money in the bank. It doesn't matter if you got the least money in the bank. It doesn't matter if you know some important people or you don't know anybody. If you know God, you've got favor. Claim it. Claim it. Claim it. You've got favor. You can have fairness. I'll take favor. I just wonder if this story was written today, Pastor. I wonder how it would read in the news. I got to thinking, if this parable that Christ just laid out came to earth today, how would we as people in this culture spin it? Here's the headlines. Rich real estate mogul institutes socialist compensation plan. Next at 6 o'clock. New studies show punctuality at work pays less. How savvy new workforces are gaming the system to make more. How rich business owners take advantage and exploit their employees at 9. You see how we can take our concept of fairness and put it on top of something of God's wanting to do? Jesus himself said, this is how the kingdom works. Yet we're trying to spin it and turn it into a gripe session in our culture, in our society. And I buy into it sometimes. And I say, Lord, forgive me. Because what are we really fighting against when we have problems like this? Aren't we truly fighting against the sovereign hand of God that is able to move in our midst and do things that we otherwise couldn't do? Aren't we saying, I see all, know all, and can control all, so I need to have it done my way? Isn't believing in God's favor and laying down my sense of fairness genuinely saying, I trust you? Yeah. Isn't that what that is? But we get sucked into these things, don't we? There's some kingdom principles here I want to lay out. First, I told you, for the kingdom of heaven is like this. Fighting against these principles is fighting against these constructs that Christ has laid out. Now, listen to this. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius, that's a day's typical work, and going out the third hour, he saw and standing idle in the marketplace. There's something I never saw this in the passage before, Pastor. But think about this. The people that he went out and got next and got next and got next, where were they? They weren't at home. They weren't on the sofa. They weren't on social media complaining about how the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Or, you know, whatever other. They weren't doing anything but what? They went where business is going. And it didn't say they were sitting down. It said they were standing idle. And the word idle there simply means they did not have a direction to engage yet. But they were looking. When I was about, I don't know, how old is a fifth grader? How old a fifth grader? I was in fifth grade. You know, I sympathize with my children because I'm just like them. And that's what bothers me. And I feel like I should constantly apologize to them saying, you got that one from me. And one of the things they got from me is sometimes words don't mean anything. I have to feel it before it means something. And so my coach in fifth grade always says, Terry, baseball is a game of anticipation. Get in an athletic position and be ready. That sounds great, doesn't it? I'm in fifth grade. I'm literally out in right field, and I'm not paying attention to the game. And then I hear the crack of a bat or the ding of a bat because of that age group, you're playing with aluminum. And I'm just, and all of a sudden, I feel this overwhelming pain at the top of my head where the ball just landed. Nearly knocks me out. And they're all yelling, Terry, throw it in, throw it in. And I get up and I throw the ball in. But that taught me something. It taught me what he meant, which is an athletic position anticipating. If you break that passage down, those series of workers that was in the marketplace, if you study that word out, they were in an athletic position waiting for opportunity. Kingdom principle. If you want the favor of God to show up in your life, look for it. Because it's coming. Get in a position. Where's the ball at? Where's the ball at? Because it's coming my way. So many times we check out because it's not fair. I wanted to play shortstop and the coach put me out here in right field. That's a true story. That's not fair. I'm a better ball player than the guy on short. I'm just not his son, so he's the reason why he's over there. That's what's going on in my head while I'm out there counting the clovers in the field, you know what I'm saying? And getting knocked in the head with a baseball. Kingdom principle. Get in a kingdom position. And anticipate. Because God's got something for us. He's got something for us. Something is coming. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But I'm sure it could be better. Amen? I'm sure it could be improved, couldn't it? I'm sure you would like to experience and see more going on right now. Well, let me tell you, get in position. Start looking because God's got something going for us. That's number one. What about your reputation? Let me ask you a question. Do you want what's fair or do you want what's favorable? I remember years ago when we just first moved down to South Carolina, I was in a local store and I was talking to the store owner there and they had asked me, I don't see you around much anymore. And I said, well, we've moved to Spartanburg. And he made a comment afterwards about, oh, they finally got rid of you or something. And in the comment, I don't know exactly the words, but I saw in his eyes, in the tenor of his voice, that wasn't a joke. he was like not a fan of Terry's, and he sort of revealed himself right then and there, and because he had seen some failures I had had in business, and I could tell right then and there he was like sort of in his self celebrating a little bit. Well, Terry's been taken down a notch, good for him. And I could pick that up in him. And you know what? I got to thinking about this as I was putting all this message together. I said, you know what? That's fair. That's fair. I failed. That's fair. What's not fair is people fly from all over the country to come to Greenville once a year to listen to me and think I'm some expert in business. That's not fair. That's favor. See, that guy wouldn't walk across the street right now to hear what I got to say. But people fly from Okinawa, Japan to meet in San Antonio just to spend an hour. That's not fair. That's favor. God wants us to have favor. Quit looking for fairness. You're not going to get it. And if you're a parent in here, let me just give you some free, take it or leave it. I know you shouldn't even cross that line. But as a person who has had five children, let me tell you a benefit of one thing I've been able to do, and Gina especially. Eradicate the idea in the word fair. It solves so much. It solves so much. Because it's not fair. And the more we can help and let people know, life's not going to be fair. You're going to go to school sometimes and they're not going to treat you right. That teacher is not going to see what that person is doing to you, but they're going to see how you responded. Not fair. Forget fairness. Look for favor. Because when you got the favor of God on your life, you don't worry about these little things. You don't get hung up on them. Proverbs 3, verse 4 says, "So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." God didn't say man would be fair to us, but he says he would put favor on us to people that don't even like me. I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. I read the email. People that don't even like me buy from me. And they tell me, "I don't like you." I get it. It's $100. You can have fairness, give me favor. What about your cause? What about the things you stand for? What about the things you're... He says this in Psalms 9:4. He says, "For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment." God is going before us. He pleads our case. I had to learn this, and I'm still learning this, but I'm telling you what, the best advocate I've ever had to plead my case is him. And if I will step back and let God take care of things, I'm telling you what, it's worked. I don't know why I talk so much. I'm telling you, I've been in situations where I was about, and God says, "Shut up." I know that's going to mess with some theologies, but I heard it, and I heard, "Shut up." And by me, the absence, that vacancy of me talking, the situations did this and did this and all of a sudden, I walked out in a better situation than what I was actually going to negotiate for. That's not fair. That's favor. Your blessing. Do you want your blessing to be contingent upon what's fair? Oh, I don't. Oh, I definitely don't. No. I do not want to be blessed on stipulated on what's fair. He says this in Psalms 5:12, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with what? Your favor." He says your favor as with a shield. In other words, the favor he puts on us, it shields us from all of the weapons of the enemy, all of the naysayers. The haters are going to hate. Let them hate. Punch yourself. Go ahead. I'll even hit a couple times myself with you. Come on. It's the rope-a-dope, man. They'll wear themselves out. because God in his favor is standing right before you. There's nothing that the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, and the people that work with him, that have joined forces with him, there's nothing they can say or do that's going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So let them talk. Let them post. Let them snap. Oh, whatever it is they're doing. You know, one of the basic psychological functions they say or needs that a person needs is to be heard. You want to drive a person just absolutely insane. If you want to torture a person, put them in a situation where they feel like they're never heard. It's a basic function. You were designed to have that. You have, I don't care if you're Mr. Macho in here, Mr. Independent, every one of you have got to be feeling like you're heard. It's just in you. It's in all of us. Do you want your ability to be heard based on what's fair or what's favor? Absolutely. I think you guys are going to ace this test. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, right now, you have an audience with the King. Right now. You want to be heard? Right now. The Holy Spirit's saying, right now, you got something you need to say? Say it. I'm here. Right now, what is it you're going through? What is it that you need? What is your pain? What is it you're hurt? The Lord's saying right now is a favorable time. Now is a time that if you don't know Christ, you can know him right now. If you know Christ and you've got pains in your life, right now is a time that he says, you've got my attention, what you need, baby. Yeah. He talks like that to me. I don't know how he talks to y'all, but he's got a little bit of Southern dialect, little attitude. Southern dialect, Northeastern attitude. This is how. What about your influence with a hostile authority? Yesterday, on the road from Virginia, I could tell someone was there to minister justice. He was an authority. He was not there to... You can tell by people's posture and body language, you know, if you watch. There's some people you can yuck it up with, hey, how you doing? What you doing today? Can I get you a donut? You know, whatever. Let's talk about that ticket. You know, what's a ticket? It's just a piece of paper, you know. This guy, no. This guy, I mean, Scott, the hat was like... You know, glasses. No. I was, yes, sir, no, sir. Can I wash your car, sir? You know, anything I can get for you? Your hand looks tired right in that ticket. Go ahead and up that a little bit. I was probably going faster than that, sir. Yes. I was actually going faster before you clocked me over the hills. Daniel 1:9 says, and God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief. Daniel had some hostile authority, or if you study his life. How many have some hostile or have had some hostile workplace environments? Maybe the boss just doesn't understand. The Bible says, yes, that boss may be unfair. Yes, that owner may be unfair. But if you will keep your nose to the grind, I love this definition. I tell you, there's a word in the Bible that is politically incorrect, and you're not supposed to use it anymore, but I'm going to use it because it's in the Bible. Is that okay? There's this word called submit. It's there. You can go to look at it. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. But I love this definition of submission. Because me and Gina was at a marriage thing one time, and he was talking about submission in the context of a marriage and how that looks. And, you know, the submission is more than just in the context of marriage. It's in all kinds of areas, right? And the minister said this, submission is nothing more than ducking so God can hit the one responsible. when you're at work and he's being unreasonable, let me tell you something about my God. He don't let his kids get beat up on. He does not let his kids get beat up on. And if I submit and I do everything right, I'm telling you what, I have been in work environments where I was hired by the ownership, but management didn't want me. Management tried to torture me for months and months and months and months. And I just kept my nose clean. I did what was right. And he was found out going back in a computer system, trying to change numbers to make me look like I was doing something I wasn't. He was trying to set me up, and he got the boot, not Terry. I'm telling you, God takes care of his people. He takes care. But why do we struggle with that? Because the moment I say I want favor and not fairness is the moment I say I trust you more than what I trust what I'm seeing. Because that genuinely is what faith is. It's the hope and the evidence of things not seen, right? It's not what I can see. I don't see how you're going to work this out, God. But I have heard stories, and I'm sure some of you have got it, to where the boss man did the wrong thing, and all of a sudden, the wrong thing started happening to the boss man. Now, I'm not advocating anything, but you submit, and you listen to your authority, and you do what's right before your God, and see what God won't do for you. I mean, I've just seen it too much. Your ability to be seen. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:8. Your level of, how many want your level of success in this life? Not in the after, but in this life. How many want it based on fairness or favor?
Favor.
Really? You keep praying that, you might become part of the upper percent, and then all of a sudden you get. But your level of success, Psalms 86:17 says, show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame because of you, O Lord, have helped me and you comfort me. Yeah. Woo-wee. That's good stuff right there. I'll eat on that all day, I'm telling you right now. How about your authority and reach? How many want that? Genesis 39:4 says, Joseph found favor in his sight and attended to him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all he had. Joseph was put in charge of stuff he did not buy, did not have, and did not have the credentials to be a part of. That's not fair, Doug. But that's favor. Access to his presence. Acts 7:46 says, who found favor in the sight of God and asked him to a dwelling place, to have a dwelling place. We have access. And number 10, your scope of influence. Acts 2:47 says this, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day, those were being saved. The context of that passage there, guys, is these are a bunch of disciples that in Acts 2 here are preaching and are speaking to people that are not native to their tongue, not native to their culture, not native to anything they know. The whole world's coming and converging on this thing. They're preaching and the gospel is going out. But here's the weird thing. You put me in front of anybody other than just, you know, us, my scope of influence is going to be limited. Why? Because I don't know French. I don't know Italian. I don't know German. I barely know English. Right? So what's fair is for me to only be able to have this limited scope of people I can minister to, influence, and bring change. That's fair. Favor, God says, anybody I come in contact with, I can have influence, and I can have the ability to minister to and bring about change. I'm telling you guys, don't let Satan and don't let anybody trip you up on all this stuff going on in our society today about what's fair and what's not. I don't want fair. I want favor. Amen. Love you guys. Love you guys. So let's stand and pray. God, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for making us the head and not the tail. Lord, Lord, thank you for not being fair to us. But thank you for giving us exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever think, dream, imagine, or even consider what is fair. Thank you for your favor on our lives, God. Thank you for this people. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all of the things you're doing in our midst. And Lord, I just pray a special blessing over your people as they go out this week, that they will find favor to their left and their right, the north and the south, the east and the west. We call in your favor, Lord, not for our own purposes, but for your kingdom purposes, to bring about change in our culture, in our society, in our areas that we frequent. We love you, God, and we'll give you all the honor and everything and every success that we encounter. In your name we pray. Amen. Guys, if you're a new member and you joined us for the first time, make sure you go back and see Pastor Terry. He is at the back. He'd love to give you a gift. And also remind you, Project 22, if you want to give.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.